This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
Betches Media presents...
Chrissy Teigen referred to Donald Trump as a pussy-ass bitch.
Look, he's a sick puppy. He shouldn't be there.
Well, I lost half a day of skiing.
I'm going to punch him out, and I'm going to go to jail, and I'm going to be happy.
The Betches Sub-Podcast.
A speaker has not been elected.
Hello, hello. This is the Betches Sub Podcast, where C-SPAN meets the group chat to help you process and laugh at the biggest topics in U.S. news and politics. I'm Amanda Duberman, the news director at Betches.
I'm Elise Morales, a comedian and the writer of the Betches Sub newsletter.
And I'm Millie Tamaris, comedian and sub video contributor.
And today we are joined by two incredibly special guests. The first is Glenys Mahar. She's a political strategist and one of the co-founders of Generator Collective, which is setting a new standard for civic duty by humanizing policy through people-powered stories on Instagram. And we'll get into what all of that means. She is joined today by her collaborator on that project and the co-founder of Generator Collective, Alana Glazer, who you also know from being Alana Glazer.
Hi.
We have all of these incredible actors here, and I can promise none of them are AI generated.
No.
Promise.
My titties are AI, but everything else is real.
Okay, nice.
I can assure you that this podcast is 100% real today. Thank you both so much for joining us. This is so exciting.
Thanks for having us. So excited to be here.
We will start as we do with every show, which is when we start with a number. Today's number is 6, because that is how many months away the Iowa caucuses are.
No. I'm not ready.
Pause. Me neither, dude.
Pause for groans. Can you believe it? Time just keeps on going, doesn't it?
Time is so strange, and since COVID, it's like... people are like, this goes fast. Oh, you were saying it before. Can you believe it's July? I'm like, yeah, I don't know what I believe anymore. Time is weird.
I've been told. I'm like, oh, I have a new wrinkle and the Iowa caucuses are 6 months away.
Uh-huh. Yeah. July means nothing to me.
Uh-huh. It just pre-COVID, like in late stage capitalism, time is just so different than it was before. It used to be like school year. And now it's like time warp all day, every day.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I loved Doctor Strange on the Marvel movie about time.
Also, so much is going to happen between
exactly.
Now
that's
and
what's
Iowa
scary.
Caucuses. Right. You can't even think about it because it's too overwhelming.
Well, we're going to spend the next hour thinking about it.
That's literally the whole point of this. How many things can DeSantis ban before?
Yeah. Oh, God.
All right. So Joe Biden is widely expected to win the nomination despite a challenge by anti-vaxxer Robert F. Kennedy. And I'm sure we did all see.
Sorry to interrupt.
LOL.
Yeah.
The man who holds his fundraisers in a Dutch oven. Did you guys see this?
Yeah, the fart thing.
You know, I'm just like lately trying to detox as much as I can from constant onslaught of content. Mm-hmm. But I saw RFK
held
fart,
a fundraiser.
And I was like, I'm going to take that and do this. I didn't click it, but kept it.
Wow, good for you.
I filed it, but I didn't
you
click it.
He lost his mind, right? He lost his mind because someone ripped one.
Somebody said speech. That they were ripping one.
Millie, take us through what happened.
Please tell. Yeah,
play by play.
Yeah, I missed this part. Oh. I missed this part entirely.
The part heard around the world.
Millie, storyteller extraordinaire.
So I'm a black Twitter correspondent and fart correspondent, apparently.
Dope.
No, but apparently he had a fundraiser where two of his elderly supporters farting, and one is like,
I'm dying.
I'm going to fart. He said, I'm farting, and let one out.
I'm
loudly.
Farting. I'm farting. Unreal. Yeah. Unreal.
Yeah, and if I read you, the article is actually,
I'm
the
dying.
Language in the article said tremendous fart.
Right. Yeah, thunderous, I read.
Thunderous. Yes, so
you watched it, Millie.
I was there.
You can't
I actually,
not.
You know, Robert F. Kennedy has some good...
You know, the Vax thing, I don't know, split on.
It is like, what is going on with
So you
hormones?
Watched it, and is it, it's audible
it's
and
not,
fun?
There's no video, I'm sorry.
It's okay. All just from page 6, it's not even in like... It's not even the New York Times or even, God forbid, just the New York Post part of the New York Post. It's on page 6.
It's on page 6.
Keeps reposting that Joe Biden's angry. He's like, Joe Biden yells at people.
Right,
like,
or that, Hunter that, Biden like hanging Hunter out Biden with sex workers 5 years ago.
Hunter Biden's like hot. And
yeah, okay.
Is that
love
what it is? They just can't get over that Hunter Biden.
It's like AOC. That's what I'm saying.
Definitely. Mm-hmm. Nobody can get over AOC's beauty. They hate it. they hate so much.
And the same thing with Hunter. He's too hot.
Hilarious.
He's too hot. Classic Caucasian hot man. They can't deal with it.
I love it.
They're obsessed with also like drawing political cartoons of AOC where like they try to make it seem like she's not very beautiful. Very beautiful.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's like, it reminds me of like, I feel like years ago they tried to make that video go viral of her like dancing on a roof. And I was like, this looks like the most fun person. Yeah. I would like to dance with this person.
Yeah.
Hilarious. Like,
sorry, Boston. The only way that Boston looked fun was that one.
Right, right.
Sorry, Boston, yet again, another L. But yeah, she was on the thing. I'm like, should I have gone to Boston University? It looks fun dance? In this one video.
Can I say one more thing about the fart?
Okay,
yeah, of course.
Endless. There's no end to
no
this quota conversation.
On fart.
I do feel like that's kind of one of the things that you have to grapple with if you're going to promote not mainstream medical treatments and theories is like you're probably going to be in some farty rooms.
Yeah.
We don't really know the supplements
definitely.
That are being taken.
Right.
Yeah.
No fiber has ever been ingested
being
there.
Drinking.
Yeah, yeah,
like
yeah.
Snake oil being served.
Exactly. Yeah. That's a snake oil fart.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Listen, okay. As someone who, you know, my birthday's on Friday and it's like the 6th or 7th anniversary of me kissing a guy on my birthday and he farted. And, very, very hot guy. It's the protein powder, though. That's what I'm saying. When they have ads powder. And they have the protein powder and the Joe Rogan fan base, you know they're drinking some nasty like shit.
Wait, Millie. He farted during the kiss?
This is a whole story. Yes.
The personal was political.
Personal was political. It was, I had a dance party and someone kept farting and everyone's like, what the fuck is that smell? Who's doing it? We couldn't tell.
Silent but Deadly's?
Then everyone's leaving. Apparently. Silent but Deadly. And we're dancing, whatever. Everyone left. Dance floor cleared, just me and him. He's helping me look for my shoes. Yes, I'm sloppy. Then we kiss, and then I just smell it again, and I'm like, oh my God. It was this guy.
So he was ripped, and that's why you say the protein powder
ripped.
Thing?
Hilarious. Because he drinks.
RFK is famously ripped.
He's ripped. That's what I'm saying. It's all connected. I'm not just trying to. I'm not just bragging to the public that I made out with a guy.
So would we
and he
rather
farted.
Have cocaine in the White House than absolutely. Egregious flatulence? Well,
cocaine. I'm sure the farts are not going to be great either, but it's not as. I don't know.
All right, let's return now to the Family Leadership Summit, shall we? So obviously there is much fodder to discuss with Democrats. If Democrats were always in power, this is all we would ever have to talk about. All we would ever have
Who
to talk
farted?
About.
Where's the Coke?
Wait, is Robert F. Kennedy a Democrat?
Yeah, yeah. He's running in the Democratic
That's
primary.
So funny.
So he might, like, if he loses his primary, run as, like, maybe he'll do third party
maybe
if Joe Manchin doesn't do that.
Yeah. Joe Manchin.
But he's picking up, like, what, like 15% or something?
I have no
Joe
idea
Manchin?
What RFK
oh,
is doing.
Ask a man about Joe Manchin.
I saw Joe Manchin in person, and I simply was... I found it slightly disarming by the man's height and physical charisma. That's all
and
I'm saying.
And she said he was hot.
Shit, bitch. And Millie has not gone an episode without bringing it up.
Amanda, Joe Manchin, only physically.
Only physically.
It's a real thing in politics, though. It's called charismatic legitimacy.
And height is height.
True. Paul Ryan, okay.
Male height.
Yeah, exactly.
No, and it's true what you said. I bring it up because I did envision Joe Manchin to be 5'4".
Right.
And then when you said he was 6'4".
He presents as 5'4", but he's...
He presents as 5'4", but
his policies are 5'4".
Yes, exactly.
Although I like a short king.
Same.
I just want to say
short king. We love a short king. Yeah. I farted. Well, short. short and ripped. But I'm just saying, I thought it was 5'4", and he's 6'4", so... But yeah, damn. He might be in Joe Manchin's party.
Mm-hmm. I love that you bring it up, Millie. Never stop. Sorry.
No, I think it's really important that we center men in this podcast by women.
Barting men.
Yeah. All right, so we've been hearing a lot about the Republican candidates because the primary season, as we discussed, is really heating up. And people are starting, the media is starting to pay even closer attention to their fundraising and press tours. But last week, throughout the last week, we've seen these Republican candidates flex their horrifying bona fides at the Turning Point Action Conference and Iowa's Family Leadership Summit. These happened over a course of a few days. Okay, so the Family Leadership Summit is organized by an evangelical group. And it's attended typically by 2,000 Iowans. And this year, Tucker Carlson interviewed a number of the candidates on stage. The Turning Point Action Conference was in Florida, and it's organized by the pro-Trump grassroots group focused on millennial conservatives that was founded by Charlie Kirk. So before we go into what happened there, for the three stand-ups that we have here, Millie, Elise, and Alana, would you rather do stand-up at the Turning Point Action Conference in Florida?
Curse, right?
Yeah.
Yes. The Turning Point Action Conference in Florida, where Trump was present, or the Family Leadership Summit in Iowa, which is more evangelical, but Trump was not there.
Ooh, no, Florida for me.
Turning Point.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Florida.
Charlie Kirk?
Yeah.
That's the Florida one?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah, Florida. There's so much comedy about Florida. Trump being there is really funny. I feel like I never watched his roast battle, but I feel like roasting him is the same as something he thinks are compliments. So I feel like it would be easy to do Trump roasting.
Love your big gold toilet.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. I'll go with the other one. I'll put the counterpoint. I'll go. Where's the other one?
Iowa.
The evangelical one in Iowa. And my reasoning for that is that the last time that Trump had to watch stand up about himself, it empowered him to run for president. There's that narrative that like Obama made a joke about him and that's why he became kind of the demonic force that he is today. And so I don't want people showing clips of my stand-up and then his angry face and being like, and this is why he took over the legislature and declared whatever he wants to declare.
I do want to make sure everyone heard Millie's joke about the family leadership conference being held by evangelicals, that it was three families.
Yeah, because it's 2,000 families, three families.
Hilarious. Yes, I couldn't do it and don't know math. So I was like, I like didn't get it. Cool. LOL, that's funny.
I just have to say just one point. What is up with Republicans having so many fucking conferences? It's worse than anime fans. They're like, how many cons are they doing? I mean, no. Anime fans, they dress up. They wear a different costume. These motherfuckers are wearing the same suit at every con. Like,
I think they don't socialize. I think they don't have social lives. Yeah. And like evil money churning events are the way that they
hang out.
Can come at night after the event.
No, because they can't be on dating apps. They can be on dating apps.
They're only down low.
Yeah, but nobody. Mm-hmm. Those are all like fake profiles. Yeah. Like no women are on there. They complain all the time, so they go on Hinge and say moderate, which we all know by now.
It's
moderate
conservative.
Conservative. So that's how they go for get sure. laid too.
They do dress up though. Like they do. Mm-hmm. There is like a cosplay element for them where they'll bring like the biggest flag you've ever seen and have on kind of like a little Revolutionary War outfit. So maybe that's where they get out some of their like creative cosplay energy.
True.
So
it is gnarly. Community building too.
Yeah.
Like I'm sure they feel very connected and inspired by their movement and mission.
By watching Mike Pence just speak thrillingly to Tucker Carlson. True,
exactly.
But the family one, the Iowa one was literally just Tucker Carlson kind of just like interviewing and like asking, I guess, hard questions to these people. Apparently Mike Pence got booed.
What?
Wow.
Mike Pence got booed for maintaining that he could not have overturned the election.
Oh, yeah. Great.
Wow. Yeah. I really actually think Tucker Carlson interviewing is positive. Because he's a source of infighting in the conservative movement. Mm.
Let them fight.
I feel personally, like I think this whole past like few months has been a lot of Republican infighting, and that's why it's exciting and fun. Because they've all been yelling at.
Well, they did. At Turning Point, Trump was like, "Ron should just go back to Florida. He's out here. He should just get out of here.
Go back to your country."
Yeah. Ron DeSanctimonious.
Yeah. Well, no, Meatball Ron is my favorite.
Yeah, right. Me too. Yeah. I heard that recently. I was like, Meatball Ron. I like that.
I don't know why he hasn't doubled down on Meatball Ron. Like he's acting like he's still fishing for new nicknames, and I'm like, I was like, Meatball Ron was a return to form as far as like nicknames for him.
Is it because he looks like a meatball?
I would say yes.
Maybe it is a height thing, like a Snooki's a meatball, Ron DeSantis is a meatball.
Do we know his height?
Is he Italian American?
He is. And he, so that's like a whole thing because like his family's Catholic or whatever, and like he's like ashamed of it, and he's like,
ashamed of it because it's progressive? LOL. But
Catholicism is not progressive.
Yes. No. Well, systemic pedophilia among the priesthood is really progressive.
Because Joe Biden's a Catholic, so.
Yeah. Right. It's like, I was reading this thread. It was like a thread on Twitter about like how difficult it is for politicians to not be Christians. And that's like Ron DeSantis has like been stepping away from his Italian identity and his like Catholic
upbringing
because he wants to be more thing, but
more evangelical,
banning books about Italians,
and his, you know, and you know, again, the Catholics would not approve of his wife's fashions, which is all those elbow length gloves that she wears with every outfit.
She's trying to be Jackie O.
Yeah,
but
officially Jackie O did not shop at Dress Barn. But anyway,
Today's episode of American Fever Dream is brought to you by Newly. Have you ever felt that fast fashion ick, but can't always afford the super high-end stuff? I have a solution for you. It's Nuuly. Nuuly has everything you need to bring your closet up to speed for the season without breaking the bank. Free your closet of impulse purchases and skip the buyer's remorse by renting instead. Nuuly is a subscription rental service, and for just $98 a month, you get your choice of any six styles. They also have inclusive sizing up to 5X, as well as petite and maternity. You get fast, free shipping and returns and professional cleaning in Nuuly's state-of-the-art laundering facility. No laundry for you to worry about. This is the best. You just put it back in your box, send it out, and before you know it, you've got your next one. And you always have the option to buy what you love for sometimes up to 75% off. I bought the Rachel Antonoff pasta puffer from them. I was obsessed with it, like everybody who tries it is, and it was completely sold out everywhere else. So I felt like I really, really had an in there. So thank you, Nuuly. Nuuly is an amazing value at $98 a month for any six styles. And right now you can get $20 off your first month of Nuuly when you sign up with the code FEVERDREAM20. Just go to NUULY.com. That's Nuuly with two U's, and enter the code FEVERDREAM20 and sign up to get $20 off your first month. That's NUULY.com, Nuuly with two U's with code FEVERDREAM20. Nuuly subscription clothing rental, change your clothes.
So at both of these events, I think what they did have in common is that the candidates, they denied the existence of trans people, just the existence of them, celebrated extremist bans on abortion rights, and vowed more bans. And they also questioned the need for ongoing military support for Ukraine. So, you know, issues such as gender identity, reproductive care, and free speech have come up a lot at these events. These are, you know, often invoked buzzwords as the GOP embraces these culture wars to animate their base. What do you guys think this embrace that we saw over the past week, what does this tell us about how these guys think that they can win? It seems like this is the playbook that they are going for, and they are going to try to out culture war each other, mm-hmm. that they think this is working for them.
Great question. The question is in terms of like doubling down on...
Why do they think this will work for them? Do
you think? I have no idea. Yeah. I really don't. I mean, we talk about culture wars ad nauseum because we're kind of in them and just the work that we do. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. But we do know that Republicans are very, very strongly supportive of what they are against, right? They're against so many things like the existence of trans people, whereas Democrats are saying we are for X, Y, and Z. I'm really curious to see how the culture wars play out. I don't have an answer for you.
Yeah, I think that the culture wars have been working for conservatives for the past, let's say, 40 years, because that's how long Mitch McConnell has been planning to get as many conservative anti-human rights federal judges in office. And he succeeded. They succeeded. I call everybody they. And I think it's actually, I want to start employing that right now. And they, conservatives, are winning. You know, they fund the conservative culture wars. Unfortunately, progressives and Democrats do not fund the culture wars, and they don't understand. You know, they're looking for specific data and impressions. And also, I think sometimes excuses not to give their money. And
we'll still take it, though.
I think the conservatives have that right. However, this infighting is exciting because I think they're so lost in their white supremacy. They are so lost in their love of capitalism, and they're so lost in their misogyny, homophobia, and transphobia that they actually don't know which way to go. You know, the fact that Republicans are becoming an alt-right organization and are, obviously, and started that way, but now it's so overt.
Rooted in, you know, Christian nationalism as well, right? Like religion is culture. And you look at Turning Point USA, right? Charlie Kirk has like handpicked these different female influencers to be the beacon of Republican ideologies and the trad family and new health and wellness trends, aka taking away your own access to birth control because it's bad for you. Mm-hmm. To Alana's point, it's like they've been so good at it.
Right.
And we have to get much better at it.
Mm-hmm. And I think that it's exciting to see the cracks for me. Yeah. Like, you know, that's why I'm like, Tucker Carlson, put him mm-hmm. in, coach, because he is splitting things without realizing it. Trump is splitting things without realizing it. And I love that there's still some Republicans who have access to their human organs, and the others are just becoming robots, alt-right robots. And I think there's an exciting opportunity in those cracks.
Yeah.
But I think ultimately the group will unify under white supremacy, unify under anti-basic human rights policy. And I think to your point, Glennis, about conservatives are against basic human rights, progressives and Democrats are for basic human rights. you know, you could say what you want about the Democrats. They are for basic human rights. These days, with the algorithms that we have, stoking fucking hate, stoking fucking, what opinion do you have? And it better be hateful because that'll get likes. It's easier to be against shit. It's harder to harness a message around being for stuff, unfortunately. I don't think so. Like, Generator is really, yeah. We are really into messaging that is for America, for Gen Z and millennials. We are fucking stoked that Gen Z and millennials are the biggest voting bloc in America's history ever, from like 1776 or whatever the fuck, ever. We are the biggest voting bloc in 2024. We're fucking stoked about that. We are stoked about reappropriating patriotism. Fuck you. You do not define what patriotism means for all of us. Patriotism, to me, means policy that protects the basic human rights of trans people, policy that uplifts Black trans people, policy that protects the basic human rights of gay families, queer-centric families, women, men's emotional health.
I'm into that, dog.
Yeah. I'm into free community college for everybody. White supremacist, I actually want you to get education. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Men, I want men to have access to mental health. Then we'd probably have less mass murder via gun violence in public spaces. Mm-hmm. So it's harder, but it's actually possible. And like, I even get energized and feeling that energy. Like, we all know that energy of like hating shit and getting mad. And, you know, Elise was saying earlier about Twitter trolling you to get you fucking pissed. And you're like, fuck this, I'm out. I know that fucking feeling. I even know the feeling of just jealousy. Lately, I'm on Instagram and I'm like, why do I want to be 10 other people?
Yeah.
Because this is designed to make me want to be 10 other people. And I'm so sick of this. I actually think Instagram and TikTok is a brilliant fucking tool for progressive messaging. Mm-hmm. But so I need to like put guardrails around my usage because it makes me ill. It makes me mentally ill. It stokes my anxiety. It stokes my depression. It stokes my self-loathing.
By design.
And it's such an interesting impulse to like that I find myself fighting to like look at stuff that's going to upset me. Like even with, you know, this SAG strike, which we've talked about on the podcast. Over the weekend, I found myself like purposefully looking at comments from people who are like saying negative stuff about the strike or being like these actors or blah blah blah. And I had to stop myself and be like, why am I actually like, why am I going into comments and looking for stuff that upsets me when actually if I pull back a little bit, I can see a bunch of like awesome solidarity and posts that actually make me feel really good and really strong in like what my union is doing and how all these people are coming together. And I had to like check my own self and be like, stop going looking for stuff that upsets you. But I do feel like the way social media has been up until now, it's trained you to kind of search for that feeling a little bit.
Yep.
Well, I think that's why it's so important what y'all are doing, because if you talk to any conservative person, the reality is like that in general, not just conservative, like in general, we get our views from social media and like all this stuff. And if we're not like encountering this group, it's everything that we get is from social media, which is designed to make us more angry. But how many times have you heard like, I've heard like, oh, well, I'm usually don't like gay people, but you're cool. Or I usually this and that. And it's like, because people need that human element. Right. And the way that things are being designed now is to take away the faces and make this big, scary monster of like, big scary monster with conservatives and big scary monster with Democrats and radical leftists and all this shit. It's like, again,
it's just not the reality.
It's not the reality. Yeah. And the reality is going back to like what we were saying a few weeks ago about that New York Times article where it's saying more people are socially conservative and fiscally liberal. Like people actually believe more in socialist populist policies. But, you know, it's like that those culture war things that keep people in like the trans thing, and it's like, oh,
wait,
well,
I'm sorry. Can you repeat that? More people are socially conservative,
fiscally liberal.
Yeah, it's so like switching it's recently. Switching.
Yeah,
in the past kind of explains why, like, the irrationality of like, you know, blue collar people that don't earn that much being really anti-trans or for whatever reason. It's like they're getting the groupthink around that, and it's sort of pivoting like towards more people are voting out of like their social conservatism, out of their economic interest, because people are the culture wars are riling them up so much. Yeah,
it's a minority opinion. I think the conservative culture war, and it's kind of gotten this mass popularity in terms of just being all over the internet. But Alana and I like are almost delusional in the sense that we believe that everyone is inherently, most people, many people are inherently good, right? Mm-hmm. They want good things for their neighbors. And it's about the messaging of how do we humanize more policy so they feel that way.
And like hope is delusional. Do you guys know PD Diabro?
Yeah.
So PD and I were on the road recently and we were talking about whatever, politics and shit. And I was like saying, like, I weirdly have hope. And we were cracking up about how pathetic it is to have hope. It's fucking pathetic. But I do. And like, you actually have to have that delusion to go forward. And see, it surprised me when you said that, because I was like, repeat that, because I thought you were saying it backwards.
Yeah. No.
And, or I thought I was hearing it backwards.
That's why we talked about it.
I'm honestly, and here's the fucking delusion. Did it switch or are we just, you know, capturing it now? Like, did it switch? Because I so strongly believe what you're saying, that if people are talking to a gay person in person.
Exactly.
And like, we talk about these differences and I'm like, there's such a gap. There's such a gap. And sometimes people need like a book and it tells them how they're going to die.
And we're talking like funerals, but like what to do with funerals and how to get married and all
and,
these
and
things.
And literally the afterlife or whatever. Yeah. But then when they're here on planet Earth, they have gay friends and they like gay people. You know what I mean? So like when you said that, I'm like, it's happening, or is that a statistic that is being driven by some hateful machine? I don't really believe it, to tell you the truth.
Yeah. They benefit from us mostly existing on social media where we're really riling each other up. Whereas like it happens on the left too. We've all met people where it's like, I've met someone, they're like, yeah, I'm a landlord. I'm like, oh no. And then they like explain the parts of their job that are challenging. I'm like, I'm still pro tenant, but I understand where they're coming from too. And we can't simply dismiss them. We notice in our social media too, that we get like the most overwhelming reactions to just showing some like badass, usually female state legislator, just going fucking off about some culture war thing. And people do really appreciate having somebody in their corner. Millennials and Gen Z, we're going to be, it's not just younger people, it's going to be these particular young people as we age. How do you think you're going to talk to them ahead of, you know, the next couple election cycles?
Well, we have a series coming out this year called Microdosing Democracy. We are like sickened by the idea that every 4 years we are supposed to trip our balls off on democracy and voting and suddenly catch up, crash course, versus microdosing, which is actually a commitment to small incremental change that makes fundamental shifts over time. Microdosing is a lifestyle change. Tripping balls, it's like, I don't know, could be good, could be bad. And where does that leave you at the end? So we're coming up with a series, Microdose Democracy, where we want to do just that. Just microdose to Gen Z and millennials, the biggest voting bloc in American history ever, come 2024, so that we can be prepared to vote and not be so sickened by it, but actually slowly, gently shift toward what we have to do in 2024. And we are fucking jazzed on this idea of being patriotic as hell. Yeah. There's a lot to be patriotic about. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of history in this country to be patriotic about and to claim it for ourselves.
Air conditioning, babe.
Don't have that in Europe. I mean, literally this right now, this makes me patriotic. Yeah. We are like, you know, a group of women from different walks of life with different perspectives coming together to talk freely. That's fucking lit.
And all I want is an America that lives up to the Alana and Broad City gif of the American flag.
Me too, baby. Me fucking too. Yeah. I want to fucking salute some shit. You know what I mean? I'm waiting to. And there's plenty to salute. You know, I'm not going to stand here and be like, I'm a Democrat. You know, it's like, I'm progressive. I vote within the Democratic Party because it's a two-party system. That's the party that is
the next best step.
And that's the party that is for basic human rights. And I think there's a lot to be progressive as hell about from the past 3 years. And I want Gen Z and millennials to understand that if we truly rose up in the numbers that we have behind us, we actually have these numbers. If we rose up and voted, we could in one fell swoop change the country, make it progressive. We could have all Gen Z and millennial politicians or majority if we wanted.
At local, state, and federal levels.
And what I love about Generator is that it clearly does have the point of view that like consistent engagement, like obviously Joe won, but then we don't all fall off. We can still criticize him. We can still keep the pressure on. It's not like every 4 years we suddenly are like, oh, we have to like get our dicks up for this guy we don't really like that much. It's like, no, the whole 4 years you can be pestering him and like trying to get on his ass because we, like you said, like they work for us.
That's just so brilliant because I think that right now in America, the way that we deal and engage with politics is like the Super Bowl, where it's like most people aren't watching football every day. They just, when the Super Bowl comes around, okay, what are all my friends doing? Oh, what does my dad root for? Or like, my dad's a Cowboys fan. I guess I like the Cowboys and like
That's
going
so
like
funny.
That.
That's yeah. so
and,
true.
And it's like, we need to be actually every day.
Yeah.
Like, what is this policy? What is that policy? What's the land usage and zoning and all of that? Mm. Like, engaged in our things, you know, and the reality is like what I've heard other people say, you know, is like you get the representation you deserve too.
Yeah.
And it's like, if you're not like paying attention, if you're not like taking people to task and stuff, there are people whose jobs are like corporate lobbyists. That's all they do is all up in their shit, like pushing money.
Yep.
And it's not that we have money, you know, you have to give them money, but it's like, you got to be watching them and making sure that they're doing what they're supposed to be doing.
When Alana and I founded this in 2016, part of the reason we did was I come from Democratic politics proper. And Alana thought that I knew everything, and I didn't. But we realized that the system was made purposely elusive so that we didn't engage with it.
Yes.
And that's a problem. Mm-hmm. And part of what we do at Generator is we speak to our audience and to ourselves the way that we wish we had been spoken to about politics and government, because it is confusing. It is complex. There's so many moving parts, but we are like the lowest barrier of entry to engaging with it. Like, and we try to make it entertaining and to the point and short, just so more people can engage. And they're not like reading, like last night I was reading the defense budget because I'm like, let me see what's up. And it was like, no, I'm going to go back to Real Housewives.
Absolutely.
Well, yeah, it's even like we work in politics. I'm fucking all up in political TikTok, all this shit. And then every time I go vote, I'm like, see, who are these eight people running
that meme?
Judicial, whatever the fuck.
And but Republicans are making sure their people know.
Well, that's
Republicans are making sure their people know. And those people that have run on the Republican side have said 18 things about gay people that are terrible, that have caught the attention of whatever Republican person, the 10 Republican old people that are voting on their local elections, where one, you know, versus the one young.
Right.
Gen Z person was like,
and these margins are so small in some of these state races. It could be 40 people or 10 people.
And like, I think there's something so punk about young people, 18 year olds voting. The fact that an 18 year old's vote, okay, gerrymandering fucking sucks, but put that aside. The fact that an 18 year old's, you know, 18 year old brown non-binary person's vote counts as much as a racist white 67 year old person's vote is fucking lit. That's fucking punk. That's something to be, to feel progressive about.
And often that person's vote was, they tried to suppress it so many times before that person even got to the ballot,
that's
and
exactly
they still did
it. Like those barriers to entry that we're talking about, like those are put in place to try to stop that 18 year old, to discourage them in the intermittent time, those 4 years where the election is off or whatever, the our opposition side, the right, is trying to actively discourage those kids from coming out by passing legislation that feels so far outside of what they would ever have wanted, by putting, you know, different barriers, roadblocks in between voting. Mm-hmm. But if we can kind of, if we can flip that with what you guys are doing and say like, no, by staying engaged, you're in a punk way, sticking it to these people who literally don't want you. They don't want you to come out, and they work every single day to make sure you don't come out. So say fuck you and come out show up and put your name out there to vote, to volunteer, to advocate on school boards and all of this stuff. Like the one thing Republicans have been really good at, I feel like, are like targeting local small things where you can just rile up a small number of people and get a lot of really
and make them loud and annoying.
Yeah, and like get a really like a lot of really upsetting things.
We have to be louder and more annoying.
Exactly.
Than Moms for Liberty, which is like the most annoying. Yes.
And no, but like really no moms.
Effective. Yeah,
it's like two people. Yeah, like, it's too many.
We say at Generator that we feel like the system is like physically disenfranchising. Like we know that they are like passing, I think it's over 150 state-led bills this year alone that are in some way a voter suppression law. But it's also culturally disenfranchising. Like no one wants to engage with it. So we try at Generator just bring more people into the fold. Mm-hmm. To your point of like, okay, let's get more people involved in the system in a way that is super approachable and actionable so that more people fucking vote.
The way that you guys are talking about it, Generator has big plans, big visions, big dreams, and one of them is to have an app, like a digital platform where you can type in your zip code and get a cheat sheet. to know what's going on. We created these digital series for the 2020 election, 2022 election, based on these dance parties that we host in person mm-hmm. called Jenny Socials. But it's Generator's cheat sheet for the voting booth. And you get a cheat sheet for your state-specific elections coming up. And wouldn't it be great to type in your zip code and know who's elected in the area and then be able to check their bio? We don't have that because progressives are not yet doing it right.
Yeah. And it's like, it's crazy that progressives, I know we have to, but it's like, I would pay a tax for that. Like, how do we not already have that? Before we kind of move on, Glennis, I'm curious, over the weekend, there was a lot of talk about, I wanted to pick your brain about Joe Biden's fundraising numbers. Joe Biden and the DNC have raised $72 million, which is like a lot more than the Republicans, but people are kind of like, oh, there's not a lot of smaller dollar
John
donations.
John Legend just has to throw another concert.
Exactly. When should we be worried about that? When do the small dollar donations start coming in? And how can we, as people who are messaging to young people who don't necessarily have a ton of disposable income, but might be interested in, like, do you think that's going to pick up? When do small donations pick up? What do they mean at this point?
Wait, I have a question because I'm literally general education. That's low, you're saying?
Yeah, I think his, I don't know the exact.
So the $72 million is not, I should clarify, he's made $72 million, which is an insane amount. But he's got it mostly from very rich people, a couple very rich people. He does not have a lot of small dollar donations, which are apparently, I've read over the weekend, a sign of health. What do you think?
Well, I disagree. And I'm going to say something slightly controversial. One, though, Keith, who we were just talking about, he made a really funny meme this weekend about that fundraising number, which is like Sleepy Joe. They call me Sleepy Joe, so I tucked them in. $72 million. I'm like, okay, more of that. Yeah. I don't think it should be on us, really, to be giving $5, $10, $15, $20, $25 to President Joe Biden.
We don't believe it should be on our audience to get our content.
Yeah. Right. I do think we should lean into the very, very, very wealthy individuals who are able to fund that amount. I think that if we as citizens of this country want to give smaller dollar donations, they should be going to people running for school board, running for state and local elections because they need the money.
Yeah.
You shouldn't be. I feel like, you know, I hear Brian Derrick in my ear. He has a great app or soon to be app called Oath.Vote, which will actually be able to help push small dollar donations. But it shouldn't be on us. Like, we like, let's just learn and vote. We're
That's
not rich.
That's what I was thinking as I was reading these articles. I was like, if I imagine being in your early 20s and being asked to give Joe Biden $10.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And guess what? Pass the student.
That's right. Yeah. And guess what? That makes young people not vote for Joe Biden. The establishment, the like Democratic establishment, like doesn't know what's up. I think they know that they don't know what's up, which is nice, but they don't know what's up. This is not how you get young people to vote. You make the information clear and easy to understand, and you give back as much money as you can to young people, because guess what? Gen Z and millennials can't buy houses. They don't have health care.
Right.
Like, it's so backwards and whack. It's crazy.
And that's the media telling us that we should be.
I feel like it would be an amazing thing for Joe Biden to literally say, keep your money.
Yes.
I'm the president of the United States.
Yep. Let's pitch him.
Keep your money.
I think that's a great idea.
I'm going to use the connections that I have as a man who's been a senator for fucking 50, ever, who was the vice president of the United States. Like, you guys deserve to give to X, Y, and Z if he like promoted smaller whatever instead of, as a Democrat, being spammed by a million text messages.
Yep.
Like, it's I was so like shocked by that in the last election, the way that the Democratic Party allowed just everyone's phone number to be sold to, like, some of them were legit campaigns. Some of them are scammers, actual scam organizations. And it's like, it would be so revolutionary for Joe Biden to say, I'm actually not going to ask you for your money.
That's right.
And you know what he should ask them for? Them to use their social media platform.
Yes, that's right.
And say, do you support me or do you support this policy? Share this. Even if you have 10 followers, that helps.
That truly helps. Oh, I totally agree.
Yeah, because like you were saying before, some people, they think they have a deeply held belief, but it's something their dad believed or it's something that their religious text says. And when they genuinely interact with somebody who it affects, they're like, oh my goodness, how could I ever, like, we all know trans people and it's like unfathomable that they wouldn't use the bathroom that makes sense for them. And
that's
but so few Americans actually know them. So, like Glennis said, like, if 10 people see your little social media post where it's like people should be able to use the bathroom, that might be 10 people who didn't really consider that before.
That's right.
Exactly.
And, yeah.
It's just like it would be nice if for the Joe, but like if like there was more direct talking to
that's right
this youth voter bloc, which is what y'all are doing, but from the establishment yeah. of like, look, like, because sometimes I'm like, y'all are really on, like, we talk about it all the time. You guys are talking about abortion. Y'all couldn't. You, it's been 40 years since you guys
yeah, were yeah, pregnant. Yeah, 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 yeah.
You
yeah,
guys
yeah.
are talking oh, about oh, student. Oh. You know what I mean? Y'all could. Y'all been on menopause. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, yes, yes. If it doesn't even sound like Kim Reynolds being like, "Everybody, come back. We got to ban abortion." It's like, okay, bitch.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, but it's like the small amount of women that are even in your fucking you know, Congress, Senate, or whatever.
I know.
Like,
I know.
Are all old. You don't want to raise student like minimum wage. When was the last time any of these people that's had to right. work minimum mm-hmm. wage?
That's right.
You student loans, like when was the last? So it's just
college
like
costs $30,000 total when right. some right. of these people also, were going
to college.
Also,
houses cost $20,000.
Right. Right. Exactly. Yeah. No house. So there's no housing. There's nothing. There's whatever. So it's like even more importantly than like give me money. It's like. Hearing like a radical, it would be just so radical to be like, listen, I fucking hear yeah. you. I know all the things that are happening. I think like we were talking about after, you know, when Trump was, it's going to be hard with 2024 because when Trump was in president, like, oh, okay, well, at least Biden like is going to come fuck shit up, or Biden's going to at least, and he has, you know, shit has gotten. I remember the week when Trump said all this shit about North Korea and I was like, shitting weird for a week because I was yeah. so nervous.
Thinking we were going to get like new mega bombs. I know.
That's not happening and that's great yeah. and that's why people voted for Biden. But it's at the same time, I'm like, I would love if I heard some kind of targeting towards me or towards, yes. you know, towards young people that were like, we get it.
Totally.
Here are the things that we're trying to do. Not, but the thing is, everything that they try to do, they already try to compromise with Republicans. And then, here's all these stipulations. And these motherfuckers don't pass it anyway.
Yeah, it's, well, yeah. I mean, I'm like, again, delusionally hopeful. But I think that it's slowly happening because the White House is starting to like reach out to digital yeah. creators, yes. understanding that that's who's actually reaching the people that they want their votes. Mm-hmm. AOC endorsed Biden recently. And it's like, you know, she mm-hmm. pushes Biden. Yeah. She challenges yeah. Biden. Mm-hmm. And they're, you know, she must feel supported enough mm-hmm. to endorse him this mm-hmm. early. And just, you know, she's... That's mm-hmm. no fucking pushover right there. Yeah. That's somebody yeah. who's always thoughtful about every decision she makes. So I feel like it slowly could be happening.
Mm-hmm.
And again, in one yeah. fell swoop, we could be voting in more Gen Z and millennials at government level,
yeah.
at state level, as government officials, if we do it. If yeah. we do,
and those are the people yeah. writing the congressional maps mm-hmm. that that's ultimately right. depend that's on right. our national. So you mentioned earlier that you feel pretty hopeful about TikTok in terms of getting progressive messaging and speaking to young people. You've been more active on TikTok. What is your yes. kind of like goal for that?
Oh, my goal. So like Instagram has become yeah. as Miami-based comedian Amber Joy Lane recently articulated to me, your resume. Mm-hmm. It's like this resume so now true. Of like, this is the person that I am and my beliefs, which I really did because of it really became true for me because of Generator. I don't know. It's like, it feels so exposing. It feels so like to do like an ass thing or like mm-hmm. bikini.
Yeah, like be silly and absurd and like yeah. yourself and.
Or something like it feels more like a job resume. Yeah. Whereas TikTok it's is like so LinkedIn, stupid. Almost, yeah. 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 Whereas.
Especially in creative. It is like a LinkedIn.
TikTok is so stupid. It's so much fun. I've just yeah. been having so much for fun. And it took me like literally 2 years to get there, especially with the help of Madeline and Glennis. And like Glennis, you know, Generator for me is like. It's hard for me to like separate. It's part of like my whole, the way I see everything, the way that I approach comedy is from a mm-hmm. place that is the same place that I create for Generator. So we've also been like shooting the shit on it. And we're like, I'm like, should I do something like this? She's like, yeah, but do it like this. I'm like, cool.
Yes, yes.
Like, it's just, yeah. there's something more exciting about it and funnier. It's playful and just silly.
Yeah. It's playful, like dangerous. Irreverent.
Yeah, in that, yes, in that there's yeah. like so many trolls, and you know,
but I don't even
but, any second. Yeah, we don't care about.
I don't even do yeah. comments. I don't even. I was gonna say this before to you, but like the SAG mm-hmm. comments, like since Broad City, I'm just like no comments. I'm yeah. not gonna read comments. I don't care. These people, like trolly comments. that isn't a real person to me. And I refuse to believe that that's a real person.
Even and they tend not to actually be real people. It's correct. Like user 852432. Yeah. And they're like correct. Misspelling everything. Correct. And it's like, and, you good?
And it's like, so like, I don't know, Instagram, I've been like, have this barrier to entry lately. Whereas TikTok, it's just so fun and so silly. And it feels like the girlies like whispering to each other. Yes. Mm-hmm. Whereas Instagram, it does feel like a job resume.
My favorite is the TikToks that Glennis puts on her Instagram stories.
Oh yeah. My dumps.
Yes.
I slowed them down. I was
no,
sick.
Never.
You recently, we're going to get back to some more culture war stuff, but I did want to do a very quick game themed off of a TikTok that you did that went pretty viral.
Okay.
When you were discovering that Ron DeSantis is indeed only 44 years old. And I believe
gnarly.
Your husband's
disgusting.
Older?
No, my husband's younger. He's 43. Oh. And he's like gorgeous and brilliant and so engaging.
Cut this.
Not amazing.
Cut it.
Sorry.
It's too nice to men on the podcast.
No, sorry, it's true. And it's the true. Fact that Ron DeSantis is a year older than him is fucking crazy. A ghoul with, you know, who seems to have like tin organs. That's what Ron DeSantis seems to me. Yeah. Gum and aluminum cans and as meatball. Like his inside. And
like
meatballs.
He's been here so long. So
meatball
we're
fucking
couple.
Ron. Mm-hmm. I love it. Who I love that he hates it.
Who do you think's older, Ron DeSantis or Adrian Grenier?
Wild. I guess Adrian Grenier, because he was in Crazy Video.
Yeah, he is 3 years older.
Why, y'all?
Adrian Grenier is 47
Do you guys
years
remember
old.
Crazy? Yeah. Even Adrian Grenier is like, or whatever.
With Melissa Joan Hart.
With Melissa, Mm-hmm.
So that is so silly, dude. Ron DeSantis is a little baby.
Such a little baby. He's so, Ron DeSantis or Steve Aoki? Who do you think's older?
Oh my goodness.
I know the answer to this, I think.
I think I know, yeah.
I think I know the answer to all of them.
I genuinely don't. I have no concept of how old Steve Aoki is. I'll be perfectly honest.
He throws cake at people, he's so 45. I'm going to say he's older.
He's 45. This was inspired by an amazing commenter on your video who said, Pete Wentz is the same age as Ron DeSantis. That one's insane.
I
that
died insane. When I read that comment. I was like, no.
Jamaican pride, Pete Wentz.
What about Ron DeSantis or Chris Pratt?
Pete Wentz is Jamaican.
Jamaican half.
What?
Mm-hmm. Yep, look it up.
I will. I'm going to just believe you too.
Do you think Chris Pratt is younger than Ron DeSantis?
Chris Pratt?
Similar.
Performative evangelical. I'm going to say Ron DeSantis is older than Chris Pratt.
He is 1 year older.
No,
I'm
I was going to say, I was like, maybe they're the same age because I feel like they've fallen prey to the same forces.
That's true. They're like months apart and some other people that
that's
are the
interesting.
Same
age. They have become subject to the same algorithm.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. They have the same feed, so I feel like the internet knows they're similar age.
I feel like Chris Pratt is doing more hype priest.
Oh, like he's what's that?
The hype priest, like the priest Hillsong. That wear like the Balenciaga.
I can't.
And like all of that. He's trying to get like the cool people with Christian in it.
Like I love being Jewish.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Hillsong but you got to look up Kourtney Kardashian and all of that. And the person who spoke
she's
at Kourtney.
She's with hype priests?
Hype priest. Yeah. The person who officiated her wedding. Crazy, crazy, crazy. Drown my rabbit hole. Quick.
I'll go down it.
We do have to move on to our next segment, which is Are Men Okay? Today's man is Senator Tommy Tuberville. This man.
Oh my God.
Tommy.
Devastating.
His name is a caricature of a name.
Yeah, literally Rugrats. Yeah. Rugrats Tuberville.
And
should
a
we call
football coach from Alabama is also just like a parody of like, especially because it's like, there are a lot of incredibly intelligent people in Alabama. Among them, Doug Jones. They got Doug Jones out of the Senate.
Right.
He literally like prosecuted KKK members.
He was so cute, Doug Jones. He was such a
person. I remember he also like got Ketanji Brown Jackson. He was like her like Sherpa during the confirmation. He's just a doll. He has a really cute like gay son.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, that's right. That is Alabama as well.
But Tommy Tuberville, unfortunately, is now the senator of Alabama. Have you guys seen what he's been doing to the military budget? This is crazy.
I just saw this clip of him on CNN not understanding what white nationalism was and is clearly a white nationalist himself.
Yeah. He spent, he was in the headlines for a few reasons. Last week he spent like, he had like an interview every single day where they're like, you sure you don't think white nationalists are racist? And he was like, I'm sure they're just Americans. They're MAGA Republicans. Eventually he had to relent and say that, acknowledge that a white nationalist was racist. But what he's been doing for months is that he has been holding up hundreds of military appointments. This is a Republican. I always thought that at least Republicans were like famously pro military, national security, and defense. But no. Since February, this man has put a senatorial hold on 270
incredible
military personnel moves. Basically, incredible. He's keeping them from getting a confirmation vote. He says he's doing this to protest the military's policy of providing leave to and reimbursing members who travel out of state to access abortion. So after Roe, people, the military was like, if you need to access this procedure, you can. And obviously get an abortion for whatever fucky reason you want to. That's
because we need soldiers.
Right. Yeah. That's the thing is, it's like, because if we have a service member who wants to remain,
we need the poverty draft.
Would actually be good for us. It's also so funny to me in general to be like, the U.S. military is too woke. Like the famously fucking woke Pentagon. Yes. Uh-huh. What are you talking about?
Well, that's what's been going on with this budget entirely. Oh, last week, the House passed a military budget. They stuffed it. It's normally like a bipartisan, like, of course, we'll give the military the money that they need. But no, the Republicans, there's this one guy, Armed Services Chair Mike Roberts. He's a Republican from Alabama. He helped stuff it with like bans on gender affirming care for their families, bans on this abortion policy, bans on DEI, bans on renaming military bases that are named after racists. But Armed Services Chair Mike Rogers has said that all of these things are necessary to, quote, help build the ready, capable, and lethal fighting force we need to deter the Chinese Communist Party.
Oh, wow. It's so unhinged.
It's like xenophobic. It's a turducken of like terrible.
Yeah. It's like fear mongering of the Cold War.
If there are trans kids, we will lose the world war to China.
Which, by the way, let's not even get into trade and how, whatever.
Yeah.
But we'll come back to Tommy. For me,
someone's transitioning just to be in the military. Yeah,
it's like minority rule at its finest. One person is blocking all of these people's lives, that's literally. Right. Also, and I'm not sure if this is correct, so if you know or not, isn't it one of the seats for the Joint Chiefs?
Yes.
To me, I'm like, that is insane.
The military commandant, like, it's 270 people. These are all high profile, but one of them is part of the Joint Chiefs, and this position hasn't been vacant since the Civil War. Famously, insane. Many wars since then.
Psychotic.
And this Republican is like, you know, absolutely not. And everybody's mad at him, but he's like, no. And if people are gonna be able to drive to different states to get life-saving abortion care, then
one man.
Thing is, like,
so men are not okay.
No.
Men are not okay.
We answered it.
And it's like the way that they get clout now is to do the craziest shit.
I know, that's right. Like we're talking about him.
Yeah, it's like it's not enough to hate women anymore. Now they gotta hate women in the and all this other shit. Like they got that's how we all are, you know, keeping our name, you know, and all Tommy Tubb, and we're tweeting about him and all this shit. And it's like, it's just crazy. They're gonna outcloud each other until somebody literally, it gets so dangerous. But it's also like, it's like, okay, cool, anti-military is like, come back around.
I know.
Yeah, cool, like, hold up the military.
Totally, I know. Late-stage capitalism, just like a snake eating its own tail. Yeah, I know. It's really wild.
Like, wow, yeah, you're so woke, you hate the military, what do you hate? Yeah, well, guns are too woke, let's get those out of the streets.
Yeah, exactly.
I know, when are they going to start saying guns are too woke?
Can I ask a question? Yeah. I think it's important that we use nicknames like Donald Duck for that guy and Meatball Ron and Rugrats Tubyville. Rugrats, has he been in the military?
Nope.
Yeah, unbelievable. No, what a of course not. Bitch. What a fucking bitch.
Exactly.
Also, they're like, oh, the drag. They talked about drag in the military and I'm
LOL.
Like, listen, I love watching gay people in the military on TikTok.
Me too.
Like Gen Z at war.
Gen Z at war, so they're funny. All like voguing.
Or like so sweet. It's like, okay. It's so sweet.
It's so fun.
That is troop morale. Come on.
And that's patriotism for me.
Literally. Yes. For that, I'm like, yes.
Yeah.
Like gay soldiers, like that's imagery I can get down with.
But it's also like been forever, but it's also like, there's not a drag show. And like this guy's
right.
Like,
it's also like guess what, bitch, where the drag show is? In your head. You're obsessed. You're obsessed with gender. You're confused about you're obsessed with gender confusion. You are obsessed with gay sex. You.
Yeah.
You're obsessed with women's erotic ownership. You are obsessed with it.
Well, we talk when you about can't that. Make something happen. You gotta
that's true.
Like, Republicans or certain Republicans, many, most, are obsessed with.
I know.
I'm like, keep in time, like a politician at heart, like, are so obsessed with telling us what we can and cannot do with our body, our self-determination. Yeah. They want to hold it. And it blows my mind.
And like, it's like, what do you want to do with your body that you're not doing? Mm-hmm. This isn't about me, babe. Yeah. This is about you. This is about your confusion, your desire. This is about you not feeling like you can do what you want with your body. It's not about me, babe.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's always that thing to me where I'm like, what do you actually think is going to happen if you see a drag queen? Like you can kind of tell that it's like
immediately Russia just takes over all of Eastern Europe.
I find her extremely beautiful. Like, and I'm like,
right. Yeah, it's just very...
What's the fear? What's the fear?
Yeah, what, like...
If I hear Toxic by Britney Spears by a drag queen, I'm going to blow my mind.
Yeah.
They're not start grooving.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, there's no joy.
How do you balance? And I think about this a lot. I think we all do as like people that create content around this, like pointing out how inane and how stupid it is. Because like my instinct is always to troll these idiot motherfuckers so bad.
Fuck them. But leave them behind. Leave them behind. Exactly. Our parties are so much better. They are so angry that they can't party with us. Mm-hmm. That they it makes them so angry. That was like, I think, Donald Duck's big change over. He used to be a Democrat. He gave money to Hillary Clinton.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then it started, like, I think he just doubled down when it was like, oh, fuck you, bye. You know what I mean? And like, you can't party with us. You can't sit with us.
Also, when he saw how much money he could make.
Yeah. Right.
Well, girl,
it's crazy.
It ain't there anymore. Ask Deutsche Bank if they got money.
Yeah. Well, the family.
Yeah. Well, they're all going to jail too, hopefully.
And it depends with our, I'm going to knock on wood.
Find some wood.
It also depends like on what our goals are. If we're doing like progressive nonpartisan content versus like electoral cheat sheet, vote for this person. Like progressive nonpartisan, we actually don't even need to say Democrats because who wants to even hear any of this shit?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The structure that we all hate, this bipolar two-party structure we all hate, let's not even talk about it. Let's talk about what we can be patriotic as hell about. Let's microdose democracy. But beyond that, it's like, I don't want to say their names. I want to say Rugrats Toopyville. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I want to giggle myself because you're taking away my joy on a daily basis and ruining the planet we all want to keep living on. Mm-hmm. Right. So fuck you.
Ron
you don't
even wants to be partying with people like your husband in Brooklyn, but he can't.
Yeah,
he's a 44-year-old trying to be
a meatball. We got to call Meatball Ron.
Yes. Well, the Meatball Ron. Yes.
Well, he's probably surrounded by people like 20 to 30 years his senior all the time. Like,
oh my God.
He doesn't get to. Again, like hang. He doesn't get to my husband's like Prince 42. Charles. And I'm like
literally
we're out here having fun. Yeah. We're traveling, we're going places, we're enjoying life.
Danny is
2 years younger than Ron DeSantis, which is crazy when you look at like he just spends all day talking to like Mitch McConnell and like truly ancient.
Do you guys know Josh Gondelman?
Yes.
I was just hanging with him the other day and I was telling him about this TikTok and he said, Ron DeSantis is the spirit of an 86-year-old in the body of a 62-year-old who's been alive for 44 years.
Man, that sucks.
Josh Gondelman.
What I was going to say was like, it drives them crazy that they can't come to the parties. That's exactly why these guys will lie about being moderate or whatever. It's the same
on
kind
the dating
of ethos
apps.
On
yeah.
dating
right,
apps.
Right, right, right.
Because like this has happened where I accidentally went on a date with a Republican guy. And
yikes.
I'm like, yo, like when you voted for Trump, you lost your ability to date a cool black comedian that lives in New York.
That's
like,
right.
Yeah. You don't get access to me anymore. Like, that's it, dog. Like, and they don't want to have, you know, have their cake and eat it too.
That's right.
But also, just in my personal philosophy and all this stuff, you know, I would get my hair braided. I would go to like the ends of Flushing. Like, my hair braider is like super religious and all this stuff. But, you know, when you get your hair braided or get your hair done, it's like 5 hours, it's a lot of hours. So she's like, what do you want to watch on Netflix? And she's like, oh my God, super religious, like Bible quotes all the time. She's like, oh my God, I love Pose. I've watched it 3 times.
Wow,
I didn't even know that they were like that. Like she was saying things that maybe, you know, but it's just like, wow, like she didn't know any, but like this show that's engaging, that has good characters and good stuff, and it's just showing these people live their lives, has really opened the eyes
to. That's right.
So when someone says something about trans people around her, she's like, but that's not what I saw in Pose. And that's what, it, you know, that's the important of storytelling.
That's
for
right.
Me.
That's
and like,
right.
You know, in my like comedy and what those things it's like, it's important to call out like Meatball Ron and all these things, but it's also like just to show what life and reality is like for many people's lives.
And like, just to add to that really quick, that's is that clarifying. I think that people like find religion because they have faith in humanity. Mm-hmm. And then the algorithm that runs religious institutions perverts it. I think a lot of people get into politics to help and serve the people, and then the algorithm that runs the political structure, two-party structure, perverts that and says, Meatball Ron, who used to be a moderate Republican, I recently found out, Meatball, you want to now like make money and get tons of attention. That's really what it is. You want to get tons of attention for being a shithead or whatever. And then he can follow that so easily, which is why I think it's important to do. I don't even know this stuff. I'm just naming campaign finance reform, tax, billionaires. Like if we just make the system a little bit healthier, it would be so much, so much healthier.
Yeah. Right. And I think that visibility point that we've been talking about is why we've seen them going so hard on like making books not available to kids and like trying to change what people can actually see, if how much trans joy or just trans living of your life a person can see in their day to day, you know, algorithm, but also just like actually out in the world, making it harder for trans people to use the bathroom that they identify with in Florida. Because when people actually do see it in action and actually see how just like innocuous and normal that actually, what that actually looks like, when they actually have a trans coworker who's living their life normally, when they actually have a kid in their kid's class who's transitioning and they see what that actually looks like, and oh my gosh, that kid actually is so much happier and I can see it on their face, that is what's going to change people's minds. And so that's what I think they've been fighting so hard to like stop and make less visible.
I think that brings us perfectly. I mean, you guys talked about the power of storytelling. I wonder, obviously there's an actor strike now and there's a writer strike, these twin strikes. We've been talking a lot about how people are feeling. I think in the past couple of years, people are more willing to acknowledge that like you're closer to being, you know, on food stamps than you are to being a billionaire. Do you think, you mentioned that you saw some like anti-actor strike thing. Yes. I mean, I'm just curious about general reactions to what's happening and how long and what you're thinking is going through the minds of the studios who seem to be out of their minds with this.
You ready? Where should we begin?
Yeah. Well, I think that somebody made a point online that it's like, well, first of all, I think that the causes are going to be way more advanced with actors now, like
that's right.
Because it's like recognizable things, and you're seeing people from the shows that you love, like this one, Kimiko Glenn, she was in Orange is the New Black, sharing her residuals and seeing it as $27 when Orange is the New Black put Netflix on the map.
Yeah.
Like I think it's seeing these stories in a personalization, and I think it's also too that social media and Times and all this stuff, like these people used to equivalate visibility with wealth.
That's
and it's
right.
like, oh, we see you on TV or I see you on social media. You have all these followers. That means you're rich. And it's like, it doesn't mean that anymore. It hasn't meant that for a long time because of this whatever. So I think that like now is the time when we're really getting to tell those stories.
Well, I also think it's really interesting to see, like, because now we have, you know, like Matt Damon is on the picket line, right? And obviously Matt Damon.
Thank you, Matthew.
And thank you to Matt Damon.
Where's Ben Affleck?
Oh, I'm sure he's whatever. Anyway, I actually don't know what Ben Affleck is up to.
He's getting Dunkin' Donuts for everyone.
Right.
And then he's going to show up.
Exactly.
That would be so cute, Ben Affleck.
Yeah, Ben, if you're listening, that would actually be really cute.
He's on the Dunkin' Donuts picket line.
But he, so like, you see an actor like Matt Damon who does pull in, you know, millions of dollars when he does a movie, but then you actually look at that's actually pennies compared to the salary of people that we like. David Zaslav makes $350 million a year. It's actually so, even the top echelon of actors that sometimes people are like, oh, these like wealthy millionaires. I'm like, right, but we're actually fighting against people who are straight up billionaires.
And like he's wearing like tight thongs and running and jumping and in makeup for an hour and a half every day.
Like it takes like 2 years to make. Robert De Niro can't retire. Robert De Niro got to keep making movies for his damn kids.
That's right.
And keeps having it. No one telling him to do that, but.
I've been letting
reproductive choice for Robert De Niro.
Yeah. True.
I've been letting the ladies go because I have so much to fucking say. Okay, so Hollywood was recently taken over by tech companies.
Yes.
It's not even Hollywood anymore. And we all know, like, the big bad studio heads, like, whatever, you know.
Say less. They need to say less.
Yeah. Oh, I thought you meant me. Because honestly, like, I do need to say less because we all know, you know, poor Judy Garland. You know what I mean? Wizard of Oz, MGM. You know what I'm talking about? So, like, we know big bad studio heads, but the tech shit is just wild. And we were talking about this before, like, going off on billionaires, like, they dehumanize us. They dehumanize their workers. And it's so interesting. That's such a good point about Matt Damon. They even dehumanize the, you know, handsome, white, blonde-haired, blue-eyed guy that they want to be, who's their avatar. In their minds, they're fucking Matt Damon. Mm-hmm. They even dehumanize him to the point of not, they are so far off. You know, Fran Drescher was saying, we're so far in these negotiations. Mm-hmm. They are so far off from what humanity is. At least the like OG legacy studio heads knew what people did. These billionaires do not move their bodies among people. Mm-hmm. They do not travel next to people. They do not sweat near other people. They do not see other people eating. They are not pissing next to another person. They aren't caught in the rain with another human being that they don't know, such that they relate to them. They are dehumanized. They are less than fully human than us. They are so dehumanized, they literally don't understand what's happening. Mm-hmm. And they were so, and I'm pissed, I'm angry, but I'm like, actually they're weak-minded.
Yeah.
They truly thought that they could write off actors. You thought you could write off Meryl Streep,
yeah.
bitch? You thought, I mean, and Matt Damon's the perfect, just like, you thought you could write off Jason Bourne?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He left his press, dog. You have no idea how he sweats next to people. He's working among crew. He's pissing mm-hmm. next yes. to the Teamster. Mm-hmm. You are so far removed from reality. And these billionaires want to go to space. Go!
Yeah.
Leave us, planet Earth. Mm-hmm. We will clean up. We will heal without you. Go! Mm-hmm. You don't, why do you even want TV and film? Just like it's their Instagram posts, a whole show.
It's control. It's like money.
They power. Have to hoard control. The GDP of a mid-sized country. What is wrong with you?
They are There's so far wrong. Off. They are dehumanized. Yeah. They do not know what it's like to be a person among other people. They are so far off. And we don't need them to spiritually or intellectually get there. We just need them to agree to the negotiations.
Right. Yeah.
Right.
And I think, you know, writers are just like shit on, and it's like, I didn't realize like until this strike how much, but actors, it is disturbing that they thought that they could overlook actors. That is disturbing to me. And I think that these negotiations, I don't know if the actors is going to come together soon, or if the whole thing is going to stay in solidarity. But I think the end of the year is what we're looking at.
Yeah, that's what I've been saying, November.
Yeah. It's wild, too, because I watched the press conference that Fran and my new king, Duncan Crabtree Ireland, who speaks fluent Spanish.
People love Duncan. We're here for Duncan.
I was not expecting that moment. But either way, like one of the things that they talked about in this is that like one of the proposals they put forward is for AI to be able to scan background actors and
Black Mirror.
Steal your face and use it in perpetuity forever. So what they're basically proposing is, number one, to use background actors to also get rid of their job forever.
That's right.
Like, we're going to use your face to make you unemployed.
Yep.
And then number two, if one of those background actors becomes famous later, now we've got your face and we actually have you forever, which is, again, now they're running afoul of the Meryl Streeps and the Matt Damons, who also see, you know, maybe they're not necessarily personally worried about their residuals, but I don't think Matt Damon wants a studio to own his face forever and ever.
He
I don't
makes
think
some
Meryl,
shit after he dies.
Yeah, exactly. I don't think Meryl Streep wants her face
No human
no
ever in any industry wants their face owned by a corporate entity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's the easiest thing to explain, even to the people who are like,
totally.
Oh, these actors are rich and da-da-da. It's like, okay, but would you want a robot version of you to be owned by a tech company and they can use it in whatever way they want forever? And you're paid one time and it's probably like $50.
Yeah. And Kamiko Glenn was like, it's my tits. My tits are on Netflix forever. I deserve to be paid for that.
Yes. Yeah. And like, for what? Profit? Right.
Yeah.
You already make billions.
Mm-hmm.
If you're making $350 million a year, you're making $1 billion in 3 years.
Yeah.
It's so inhuman. It is so inhuman. That's why I don't even think these arguments of like, I don't think these arguments even work. No. I think it just has to be like, here are the points. We're on strike till.
Right.
Yeah.
And them, just meet us here. We know we're not going to get you.
Too, yeah.
It's
yeah.
like, you like Succession. You like all this stuff. This is what it takes.
I think that was my question is, do we think actors and writers are going to win if they're there's a cultural war.
I do think so.
I think yes.
Because we have this moment, they did not expect this moment to be so visible to all Americans. This is a labor union moment. And okay, people are trolling Kimiko because she's hot and young and a woman. And people are trolling and saying, you spoiled actors. Okay, but that's also bots and who cares? Yeah. Everybody gets it because everybody is working their fucking asses off and not able to pay their mortgages today. All Americans understand. We are, capitalism is dissolving and deteriorating. It is not a sustainable system, especially with, ironically, social media. We are talking. We know what is going on. And I think that we are winning and are winning and going to win the culture war here because everybody's feeling it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What a wide-ranging and energizing conversation. Thank you guys. Thank you so much every week back here. Thank you so much, Alana and Glennis. Obviously, people should be looking out for Generator Collective for Microdose Democracy and other exciting things you guys have coming up.
Yeah.
Iowa caucuses, 6 months away. We'll all get through it together. And we're just going to stand the people that want to, that we're letting party with us. That's going to be our focus.
Right. Yeah.
I'm on tour this summer and on tour in the fall. So if you need a break.
I just bought my tickets at BAM.
Yay. Yeah. Oh my God. So if you need a break, come hang.
Yeah. Fabulous. Follow us on social media. That's where we live, breathe, and die.
Well, exactly.
Live in perpetuity.
Win some elections.
That is our show. Until the end of democracy, this is the Betches Up Podcast. Bye.
The Betches Up Podcast is produced by Amanda Duberman, Sean Kilby, Jorge Morales Pico, and Rebecca Sousmacat. Editing by Rebecca Sousmacat. Social media by Amanda Duberman and Bridget Swartz. Be sure to follow at Betches_Sup on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok. And send us your emails at suppod@betches.com. Betches.